Yeah, that did something to my research, because actually this concept of the borderscape I also used then in my habilitation book that was published.
Bienvenue dans le podcast vidéo On Air, the podcast series of the University of the Greater Region Center for Border Studies.
I'm today here at the studio at the University of Luxembourg with the University of the Greater Region Center for Border Studies, working group Border Temporalities, and I am welcoming Machtel Wenken and Christoph Brüll. My name is Johanna Jaschik, and I'm a PhD student at the University of Luxembourg, doing research in border studies and Eastern European history. And today I'm going to discuss with you your working group, Border Temporalities. Would you two like to introduce yourself?
Thank you very much, Johanna. So my name is Machtel Wenken. I'm a professor. I hold a chair in contemporary transnational history, also at the University of Luxembourg, more specifically at the Interdisciplinary Center, the Center for Contemporary and Digital History. And yes, I do study borders, the history of borders, but very often also in an interdisciplinary context since about a year of 10. And this has increased since I joined the University of Luxembourg in 2019. And one of these elements is launching the working group in border temporalities together with my colleague Christoph Brüll.
Hi, I'm Christoph Brüll. I'm assistant professor also at the University of Luxembourg, Center for Contemporary and Digital History since 2017. I do border histories for quite a long time. Actually, I am a child of a border region, the Belgian-German border region, and this region has always been at the core of my research for my master thesis, also for my PhD. Thesis, and I'm also, yes, really a practitioner of borders, since I cross three or four borders every week, basically. So it's a study object, but also my everyday life.
Okay, so I'm really happy that I have both of you here today, because we all three of us organized a conference last year in December, which was concentrated on border temporalities. And I know that there will be an upcoming special issue this year. So I was wondering how does that go?
Yeah, thank you very much, Johanna. So Johanna is much too discreet in a way, because she was the main organizer of the conference, and we were helping Johanna out. This was a cooperation with the Sciences Po in Strasbourg, and also with a group of practitioners, so the TAIN network of the Euro Institute, which is based in Strasbourg and Kiel, but has a very international network in itself. It was a very, very nice encounter, according to me, because border temporalities is really something new. And it's interesting to bring scholars from different perspectives together in order to discuss, yeah, what is in the make and not what is already existing in terms of concepts.
So you say border temporalities is something new. What do you mean by that? What does it mean? What can you describe what border temporalities is about?
Perhaps we can first say that border studies has much to do with spatial dimensions, and around spatial dimension it has been developed as a scientific discipline, and a temporal dimension. So the question, what does time to borders, or what does border to time, has not been studied so much since until now. And Machtel and I had the idea, yes, there is something. Perhaps it's due to our historian background, because history is a field that's not so much integrated as far into the border studies. But we think that there could be a very important dialogue between disciplines, and in the end also an interdisciplinary work.
So it's interesting that we do not want to give you a very clear-cut definition at this point, because it we think that this would actually hinder us to think very openly about all the possibilities it could give to think about space and time in tandem while researching borders. And so borders in itself is understood as a verb, as Henk van Houten called it. So it's a processual approach to bordering activities, and bordering activities are human-made activities of bordering, rebordering, bringing order to society by making distinctions between groups of people. And then temporalities is not exactly the same as time. So time, we very often or like think about clock time. Temporalities is, as we understand it, more how the lived time, so how people perceive time, also imagined time. The relationship of how people link past and present and future. These are the kind of questions we ask ourselves within this working group. I can give you a very, very concrete example, and I found that very convincing, actually, that we had at our conference an anthropologist who researched how border guards decided who could enter the country and who could not. And apparently they do not only, in this particular case, not only look at passports, so which is the present, but also at mobile phones, so especially deleted messages are considered to be suspicious because they say something about what happened before. And then refugees or migrants also have to show, rather migrants, that they have already booked an hotel night for when they will leave the airport. And then some of these border guards look at how easy it is to cancel that hotel night once you get out of the airport. So the future is also taken into consideration while making a decision about the present situation of a person entering the country, yes or no. So as a small example. Yeah.
Okay, that was a very, very distinct example already. And why do you think that the focus on topics as historical memory, minorities and cross-border experiences is so important when it comes to border temporalities?
Yes, that's a very very interesting question. Perhaps we as historians would say that there's always this long-term perspective, long-term view also on borders and their evolution that that matters. And perhaps we have the impression that it's not very often the case or systematically the case in border studies. And it's also because these are really now established in interdisciplinary fields, so we feel that there is really a cooperation that can be done between the different disciplines, but also with history, but not only about history, because time can also be the future, and historians are specialists for much things, but not for the future.
But for me, it was actually very surprising to see that when COVID came and we had a pandemic and the country closed its borders, that now in Schengen, the symbol of a place in Europe where you have open borders and people can cross the borders easily, within one day it was over, and people could not cross the river any longer. And when you see in the newspapers and in on the television and so, how surprised people were that that could happen overnight, almost you would say. And as historians, you're not surprised by that at all, because you know very much that that already happened in the past. And so all this kind of human-made decisions about how open or how closed borders are. Or temporal in time, always,
Yes, because one could think that the history of European integration or of cross-border cooperation is very often also a history of open borders, but we as historians also see that it's not always the case. And if you compare Western European borders in at the end of the 19th century, for instance, they were much more open than nowadays even, and then we have a much more complicated past, so it's not a theological evolution that we are confronted with. I would also add another argument. Perhaps it's also the history of our disciplines, because we all know that social sciences and history, particularly, were involved in legitimation science. So fixing borders, articulating revanchist vindications. So we have also this critical look at our different disciplines and yes, the abuses that can be made with them, but also by scientists.
So you both have been talking about the interdisciplinarity of border temporalities. And I am thinking when you approach border temporalities from this interdisciplinary angle, then I would think that the methodological and conceptual considerations you have to take into account for researching borders are not so clear or like a new avenue. So how do you make, what are the methodological and conceptual considerations that you use to understand time and space in your border temporalities working group?
There is a variety of existing concepts we use, and then sometimes we need to adapt them in order to fit to a different historical context, because a concept is always developed within a specific space and within a specific time, which then also means that like some of these do not always fit an historical context. Mm. Yeah. So you can be inspired very much by concepts that are nowadays developed, so to speak, in order to research the past. And then you would actually have to see like what it does to the way you can interpret historical sources. And sometimes that is not a one-to-one relationship, but there is like extra thinking that needs to go on, actually. Hmm.
And does this interdisciplinarity somehow enrich like traditional historical research on borders?
Certainly, yeah. Certainly. I have learned much during this conference on border temporalities, listening to contributions from scientifics of anthropology or geography or and so forth. So yes, that's very clear. It's sometimes you need also really to bridge the gap, because the same concepts not necessarily mean the same things to us, and that's really that's the enriching discourse. And then as a scientist, you would always say that yes, at least it will rise new questions, and that seems really for me the most important thing.
Okay, and I was also interested in learning more about how the historical dimension or the temporal dimension of borders can inform about contemporary challenges that we face at the moment, or that generally exist in border discourse. Do you have an example of how the historical insights in border studies can contribute to new knowledge about contemporary challenges of borders?
Perhaps one could start with the border regimes. Mm-hmm. We it's very clear that digitization and all the digital tools have changed the way that checks at borders have been established, as checkpoints can basically be everywhere. Now it's even deterritorialized. But at the other side, we can say that basically since the end of the 19th century, the state always used all the means he had, and technical means to identify people, to regulate flows by technical means. So there, yes, I would clearly say that the long-term perspective can be really enriching there.
So I chief edited a special issue with the Journal of Borderland Studies about children and borders. And it was very interesting to see that there were three contributors who critically looked at the usage of the sentence acting in the best interest of the child. And one was an historian and the other one an anthropologist and then a philosopher. And it was so interesting to see that this concept, the best interest of the child, can actually mean everything. So if it's about unaccompanied minors in a borderland situation, about whether they can stay where they are or have to be deported, this sentence is used for both situations, actually, depending on the historical context. And this was, we didn't know that before. And so it was an eye-opening for the philosopher and the anthropologist to see that in the historical research and vice versa. So
I see. Okay. So your border temporalities working group has been existing for quite a while now. You already carried out a lot of projects within the working group. And can you share with us what kind of projects that were in the past?
Yes, I don't have the feeling that we are around already such a long time, because, it was 2020 when we started, and so it was during or just before the pandemic, actually. So the first major activity we did was a series of lectures that were supposed to take place on-site but had to be organized on-site, online. It was called Fluxus, research seminar about migration in the greater region, and it was organized at different universities of the greater region. So it was a moving research seminar, and of course, because of the pandemic, that symbolical dimension was a little bit lost. But nevertheless, this kept us busy during the pandemic. And then I think the biggest event we have been organizing was the Border Temporalities conference now in December. It was, I think, 2 days or 2.5 days of presentations. And so we now, soon in 2024, will have a full special issue with contributions that specifically, centralize actually this concept of their interpretation of the concept of border temporality. So I think that's a very important step forward.
Yeah, we have also organized more specific workshops for the moment, because Martin and I are also very interested in the history of cross-border cooperation as one dimension of border studies. And so we had one workshop where we asked the question, but how to find the sources to write this history of cross-border cooperation, because it's a very technical question, because in cross-border cooperation there are so many actors involved, so the documentation is very disparate and dispersed in the different regions. So we brought actually historians and archivists together from municipality archives to the archive of the historical archive of the European Union. So this was really interesting to map simply the existing sources or possibilities to access sources. And the second workshop we organized with French colleagues was really about the dialogue between history and border studies, and this is also a field we will more and more investigate during the coming years.
So your group, your work with the Border Temporalities Working Group, as well as the cooperation with the center, has that personally influenced your research?
Oh, but my cooperation with the Center for Border Studies dates back from before I came to Luxembourg. Mm. So before I came to Luxembourg, I was in Vienna. And they brought me to Luxembourg for the first time, actually, for a conference. I think it was in 2016 about borderscapes. So it was... and that did something to my research, because actually this concept of the borderscape I also used then in my habilitation book that was published. So yes, it did. And then our cooperation intensified when I was the chair of the Association for Borderland Studies World Conference in 2018. And this was organized in Budapest and Vienna on the occasion of the 100th anniversary of the dissolution of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. And that was a very, very fruitful, but also very nice cooperation, actually, with the Center of Border Studies. They came with 11 panels to the World Conference. That was quite massive and needed a lot of organization. So when I then came to Luxembourg, it was obvious for me that I wanted to continue this cooperation. And that is how, yeah, we looked for a way to make that possible. And this working group is then the result of that.
So you have a very distinct example of how the cooperation with the center actually has influenced your book that you have published. That is very interesting.
Yeah, but ideas are exchanged during conferences. Yes, it's. I think it was mentioned for the first time here in Luxembourg on this conference. But then later, I also visited other conferences, and it was. I mean, it was a whole European project on borderscapes. But I, for the first time, heard about it in Luxembourg.
And what about you? What about the workshops or, in general, the cooperation with the
For me, it's a bit the same. So the story began before my time at the University of Luxembourg, because I'm now a member of the scientific council of the school or doctoral network of the University of the Greater Region in the Humanities and the Social Sciences for more than 10 years. I'm the director now since 2019. And so I have met colleagues from the Center for Border Studies, and especially Christian Wille years ago. So the exchange has started then. But really, for me, since I'm here in Luxembourg, it has really been strengthened, also because the Center for Border Studies really is a structure that enables us to do the interdisciplinary meetings and exchange, and they are also quite strong when it comes to communication and dissemination of our discussions.
So the question that we are all waiting for is, how did the idea of building the working group come up? Why did you decide of coming up with the idea of focusing on temporalities? Where did this spark from?
Yeah, in itself, it's logical from an historian's point of view, I would say. Like if there is one thing historians have to deal with or like focus on analytically, it's time. So this is then also when you start like being engaged in this interdisciplinary field of border studies, it's also what you miss then in conceptualizations of other border scholars. So that's the link automatically. Yeah, it's just that we didn't formulate it so explicitly before.
Yes, and then it was the possibility to give a form. I don't want to say institutionalized, because that would be going to a bit too far, but really to give a form, and then it eases up to contact other colleagues, to have a structure where we know that we can talk to others at least two times a year during the conferences of the Center for Border Studies. So it really it helps to forge and to foster a cooperation.
And looking at the contemporary or current political or geopolitical situation and emerging global challenges like climate change, migration, and just geopolitical conflicts, how do you see border status adapting in this response to that?
I think before, border studies was really focusing on a lot on the geographical border, so the state border line in a way. Whereas when you now look at statistics, like more people arrive at airports than actually they cross geographical borders, in a sense. Or you have this so border control that is executed before people embark on a plane to travel overseas. So you have this delocation of the border is very, it's very much the case. Yeah.
And what about the working group? What about the future of the working group? Do you already have any plans for next year? Or this year?
Yeah, I think the conference was quite an investment in time and also budget, and the special issue will come out, and I would like to see what the special issue does when it's published, how it's received, and what will, and then decide what would be the next step, actually. Yeah. And then so in our personal research, we continue to really focus on to bring in the border temporal aspect more, I think. Yeah, and then we're widening our our network to scholars who also work on border temporalities, and one of the places, of course, is the Frankfurt an der Oder, the border in motion center there. So you have scholars there working on border temporalities as well.
So creating a wider European contact network.
It's quite obvious that we need other specialists from other disciplines and also from other countries and perhaps scientific cultures to discuss this border temporalities concept and to make it really a concept that can work for border studies or history during the coming years.
Okay, I'm looking forward to that. And then the center is turning 10 this year. What are your wishes for the center?
What I actually wish, but this is also, well, strengthening our cooperation in a way, or there is also some kind of selfishness in this answer, but is to think proactively about archiving and current events, actually, about border elements and also cross-border cooperation in order to make sure that there is a history that can be written.
I have a more political wish because we know that cross-border cooperation, also as scientific cross-border cooperation, is very, very important, but it's not easy in everyday jobs. So if I could make a wish for the Center for Border Studies, it would really be that the structural funding and also the structural funding of our intellectual and scientific work could be strengthened in the university of the greater region.
Okay, thank you. This was the last question for you. I'm very happy that I was able to talk to you today, and that's it.
Thank you.
Thank you.